We don't know when his return will be, but we need to act as if every single day. He might come today. He might not come for 100 years. He might come tomorrow. We don't know, but we do know that he will come again.
This is season 11 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brent Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an Orthodox Wesleyan point of view. God's holy word is essential to our teaching, so let's get into God's word right now.
I would invite you to take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, and turn in them with me to the book of Mark, chapter 13. Mark chapter 13 and verses 24 through 37. Today is the beginning of the Advent season. It's a new year on the church calendar. For our purposes, we have three great seasons, festival seasons, and the first is Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany. And the second is Lent, Easter, and Pentecost. And so this begins a new season in the church. We are also starting a new year for the Revised Common Lectionary. It's Year B. And the focus of Year B is going to be the Gospel according to St. Mark. Year B also features more readings from John, from the Gospel according to St. John, than any other year. And so the focus of this year, the Revised Common Lectionary Year B, is that of Christ as King. And so this is the beginning now also of a new series that we're doing during the season of Advent called The Coming of Christ, because the season of Advent isn't simply about preparing for the upcoming Christmas season, but it's primarily for the preparation of the coming or the return of Christ. And so let's hear the word of the Lord for us today. This is Mark chapter 13 and verses 24 through 37. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. There's a great deal of anticipation for Christmas coming, Christmas, it seems like every year the anticipation for Christmas gets earlier and earlier. When I was a kid, we generally started to decorate the house and whatnot and get ready for Christmas around the end of Thanksgiving, you know. Nowadays, it seems like July or sometimes June. This year, in particular, I saw a lot of Christmas sales starting in October, right after Halloween. And as a Christian, you want to say, well, this is a good thing, right? We're all celebrating the birth of Christ. Well, the world has sort of co-opted our holy day. Christmas is not the season for the celebration of Christ. It's just a season to get together and to give each other presents. We've made it into something that it really is not. And so, for example, last night I was watching on the news and Channel 6 was reporting on the holiday parade. Now, they call it the holiday parade. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't bother me even a little bit when somebody says to me, "Happy holidays." I know what holy day I celebrate, and that is Christmas. And that's fine if somebody wants to not offend or be more inclusive. That's fine if they want to do that. Again, the celebration of Christmas is not particularly a worldly celebration. It is a celebration of the incarnation of Christ, when God stepped off his throne and became a person in order to save all of humankind from their sin. And that's what we celebrate as Christians. But again, I was watching this report last night on Channel 6 about the holiday parade. They actually are featuring four different holidays during the month of December, and they are Christmas, obviously, and also Kwanzaa and Hanukkah, and the fourth is the Chinese New Year, which occurs very early this year. And so all of these groups were celebrating in this holiday parade, and then they have the holiday village down there where you can buy gifts and whatnot. And I heard the reporter say, in all of this, we want to remember the true meaning of the holidays. The true meaning of the holidays. And when she said that, two things occurred to me almost simultaneously. The first thought that popped into my head was, is she going to talk about Jesus? And then about a quarter of a second later, my response was, she's not going to talk about Jesus. I knew that. I mean, come on. Actually, she said that the true meaning of the holidays is gathering with family and friends. Well, that's a very nice thought. And it would be if it wasn't for the fact that we are, again, celebrating the birth of Christ. One quote, they asked a gentleman on the street. He says, I'm not really much of a Christmas guy, but you got to make some sacrifices. All right. Anyway, I don't expect the world to celebrate Christmas like Christians celebrate Christmas. I do hope that Christians do keep Christ in Christmas, and I do hope that your celebrations are rich with the knowledge that God himself was born in a manger and came to rescue the world from sin. Advent is not necessarily the preparation of the Christmas season, but Advent is, in the church, the preparation for the return of Christ. He came once. We are going to celebrate Christ's birth during the season of Christmas. The season of Christmas occurs between December 25th and January 6th. January 6th is the day of Epiphany, when we also celebrate the revelation of Christ to the Gentile world through the coming of the wise men. And the gifts that we give at Christmas are representative of two things. First of all, it's the gift that we were given. As Christians, we were given the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And that is a gift that will never be matched. It's a gift that you cannot find under your tree. It's a gift that you cannot buy in a store. It's a gift that comes directly from God, and it will never be matched. And so that is the first reason that we give gifts, is because we're remembering the gift that was given to us. The second reason that we give gifts is to remember the gifts that were given by the wise men to the Christ child. Now, the wise men came roughly 2 years after he was born. He was a toddler by then. But they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and the gold symbolizing his kingship, his reign, the frankincense symbolizing his priesthood as the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and then the myrrh given as his role of prophet, and also to signify the type of death that he will accomplish these things by dying for us on the cross. And so the gift giving that we have, we share gifts because of the gift that we've been given, and also to symbolize the gifts that were given to Jesus. But again, Advent is an anticipation of the coming of Christ. And so this reading today, just like last week's reading from Matthew, is from the Olivet Discourse. It's from the a teaching that Jesus gave on the Mount of Olives. He was asked by his disciples, when would these things occur? Because he had just told them that the temple would be torn down. Not one stone would be left on top of another, but all would be thrown down. And you can see those stones today if you go to Jerusalem. And they said, well, when will these things happen? In Mark's gospel, it's specifically Peter and Andrew and John and James who came to Jesus, and Jesus told them what was to occur. And so he talks about tribulation. He talks about this time of intense persecution, which will follow his death and resurrection. And he warns his disciples that they will suffer these things. And so then he comes to this reading that we have before us today. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. We're talking about a radical reshaping of nature. This is in those days. The words in those days is an Old Testament way of referring to end times. So, for example, in Jeremiah chapter 3, he's giving this prophecy to people who are not yet in exile, but he's speaking of what will happen after the exile. And he says, "And when you have multiplied and been fruitful in the land, in those days, declares the Lord, they shall no more say the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind or be remembered or missed. It shall not be made again. At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall gather to it, to the presence of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they shall no more stubbornly follow their own evil heart. In those days," again he says, "in those days the house of Judah shall join the house of Israel, and together they shall come from the land of the north to the land that I gave your fathers for a heritage." So he's talking about a restoration that will occur. And in those days is really a way of referring to those times ahead. After that tribulation, he says, in those days after that tribulation, it refers to the tribulation that occurs in the previous section. In fact, in Mark chapter, just in verse 19, it says, "For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be." In other words, it's going to be a time unlike any time that we've ever seen. And we've seen some horrific eras in human history, but nothing will compare to that tribulation at that time. Mark chapter, I just read that. The sun shall not give it, it shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars of the heaven shall fall, the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. So he's referring to the natural order being shaken. This is prophesied in Haggai. It's one of my favorite prophecies, by the way, because there is a baritone or a bass aria in the Messiah, Handel's Messiah, that I have sung both in high school and also in my church choir. And that was, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." What a fantastic prophecy. He's basically saying that there will come a time when all the nations of the world will gather in Jerusalem to worship the one true and living God. That has not occurred as of yet. In Revelation chapter 6, we read about when the Lamb of God opened the sixth seal. "I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, shaking of the earth, and the sun became black as sackcloth, the full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale." So again, he's talking about a reshaping of nature and a shaking of the natural order. Verse 26, "Then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven." So this is a direct reference to Daniel chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. Daniel says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." And we're talking about the coming of Christ. But Daniel, in this prophecy, is actually speaking of the return of Christ. Even before Jesus was born, Daniel was already prophesying that he would return. Okay? And so this is a direct reference to that prophecy. Also, notice that God often appears in the Old Testament in clouds. Mount Sinai, he settled on the top of Mount Sinai in fire and thick smoke. In the tabernacle, when the tabernacle was established, he filled the tabernacle with smoke and the priests could not go in. He led the people of Israel through the wilderness in a pillar of cloud during the day and pillar of fire at night. And so the Son of Man coming in the clouds is a reference to the coming of God. And so he shall send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. The he and his refers to the Son of Man, because that's the most recent object. The Son of Man shall send his angels. The Son of Man shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth. Now, the four winds, Matthew Henry suggests that this is a poetic way of saying the spirit of this world. God's spirit is described as a wind or a breath. The four winds, north, south, east, and west, describe all of the earth and the spirit of the world, which is contrary to the spirit of God. And so God will pull his elect from the spirit of this world. Now he talks about the signs of the times. He says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near." He says, you know how to recognize the signs of the times, the things that are happening in nature. When we start to see the leaves turn brown and fall onto the ground, we know that winter is approaching, right? When the branches become tender and we start to see some buds and leaves start appearing, we know that summer is coming. When we read in a newspaper that hell has frozen over, we know that the Phillies are about to win the World Series, you know? I mean, so we know how to recognize the signs of the times. And so he's telling us to be alert. He says, "So ye in like manner, when ye see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation," excuse me, "shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So Jesus is speaking here in this generation. He's speaking specifically of the destruction of the temple, which occurred within 40 years of his death and resurrection. In verse 2 of this chapter, Jesus said unto them, "See thou these great buildings, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And that did occur 40 years after he spoke those things. Now, when he says in verse 31, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Well, that's a very powerful statement, because Jesus is actually saying that his words are equal to the power of the word of God, which means that he's basically saying that I am God speaking to you. I am God in the flesh. And that's what we are told in John's gospel. In Matthew chapter 5, during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." And so he's giving equal weight to his words now. He says, "This generation shall not pass till these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Now he starts to talk about, this is the application part here, okay? The application is we need to be vigilant. We need to watch, okay? He says, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." So Jesus is fully man and fully God. He's of the same substance as the Father. He's co-equal in splendor and co-eternal in existence, but his divine nature is withholding some of this information from his human nature. Why? Because we are not to know the day and the times that God has set in his sovereignty. John Wesley puts it this way. He says, as man, Jesus was no more omniscient or all-knowing than he was omnipresent. As a man, he wasn't everywhere all at once as he is as God, okay? But as God, he knows all the circumstances of it. So his divine nature understands and knows the times set by the Father, but his human nature does not. Why? Because, again, if we know the time, we will act however we want to act and repent at the very last moment, right? He says, "Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." So he's talking about being prepared, being watchful, being vigilant. Even though you don't know when the thing will occur, be ready for that thing to occur. And it reminds me of two separate incidents that happened in the history of mankind. First was in 1988. Anybody remember 1988, what happened in Los Angeles at Nakatomi Plaza? There was a group of terrorists who took over a Christmas celebration. And then there was a rogue cop named John McClane who was climbing through the air ducts. They were caught off guard. They were caught unawares. And so when the terrorists started shooting things up, nobody knew what to do. And the police had no idea. It's really very fortuitous that John McClane was in that the tower at that time. That happened on Christmas Eve. I don't know if you knew that. Very serious thing. The other thing that occurs to me, in Chicago in 1991, there was a family who left their young son, Kevin McAllister, at home, and they went to Paris. Now, there was a group of bandits, they called themselves the Wet Bandits, and they were going to invade his home. But he knew when they were coming because he heard them planning it. So what did he do? He prepared. He prepared for their coming, and he was ready, and he really gave them a good beating, you know, when they tried to take over his house. So the point there is, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for when he is coming. We don't know when he's coming. We don't know when his return will be, but we need to act as if every single day. He might come today. He might not come for 100 years. He might come tomorrow. We don't know, but we do know that he will come again. Okay. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, Paul reminds us that we are to be praying all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Okay. And then he closes down this. He says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. We want to be alert for his return. We being asleep is letting our guard down. In Mark chapter 14, he tells his disciples, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are commanded to keep vigilant, ever watchful, living as those touched by the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. The season of Advent reminds us that we are to watch and wait for the return of Christ. His return has been foretold by the prophets and by the words of Christ himself. We do not know the day or the hour, but Christ commands us to keep awake, ever prepared for his return. The world moves along as the four winds blow, and the spirit of this world blows society this way and that. But we who are Christ's followers are called to be steadfast and ever vigilant. This Advent season, let us not simply prepare to celebrate the first coming of Christ, when the everlasting mighty God stepped off of his throne and was born a child in Bethlehem. Let us also keep awake and prepared for his return, for he will come again in glory and take us home to be with him forever. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you have warned us through the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, to stay vigilant and ever ready for his return. We who are faithful have been waiting 2,000 years for his return, and at times it is easy for us to become lulled into complacency. But we are also reminded in Scripture that with you 1,000 years is but a day, and that what seems like a delay to us is in fact your grace at work, that all may be saved. We look forward to that day when Christ returns with eager anticipation. And join the Apostle John as we too declare, even so, come, Lord Jesus. This we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. I hope that this teaching has blessed you as much as it has blessed me putting this message together. God has also blessed me by calling me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Patricktown. If you live in the area and don't have a church to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings for Bible-based and God-honoring worship. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Sunday school available and Bible study during the week. Now, this podcast is self-funded and we never ask for donations. It reaches people all around the world, but it could reach more people if you do a couple of things, and it won't cost you a penny. First, subscribe to the podcast and our YouTube channel. Leave a comment and also like the podcast. That puts the podcast in front of more people so that the gospel may reach them as well. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will listen to Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.